Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
And we're back on this Getaway Friday morning. Friday, July the 30th, 2021, 14 minutes past the hour. Scott Spears with the legendary Mary Ellen Withrow. And there's no doubt about that. She is legendary. Schools named after her in this area. 40th Treasurer of the United States. Former state treasurer. Former local treasurer. And first woman on Elgin School Board. That should never be forgotten when people talk about Mary Ellen, because that was a huge deal back in the 1960s and paved the way for people like Nan Whaley, who we talked about last hour, to run for office. You know, Mary Ellen, you really did. That's one thing age doesn't work for a lot of reasons. It's not the most fun thing. But you get to see what you did, you know, what you paved the way for.
You know, that's right. You know, I think back and I don't know how I did it.
Yeah,
right.
Well, I mean, you look back at this now, do you think... You know, back in when you started in the 60s, it was unheard of. You can't have a woman do this. And now we've got a woman as the front runner for governor.
And we've got a woman vice president.
And a woman vice president.
Yeah. I wonder how she's going to work out, because I think she's so good at what she does. I'm talking about the vice president, and I've watched her, and of course I was really hoping that she would be president when she started running.
So she was your favorite in the primary. Do you think Biden should run again because of age?
Well, it depends on how he is at that point. He's doing a fine job, and it depends on his health, and I think he's fine. I mean, you know, to talk about his age is not anything that any of us should be worried about, as long as he's healthy.
Well, not to mention a private conversation or what it was even about, but I had talked to you, not running for office again, but being involved in politics, you had said that if something came about, you would still do it.
Yeah. If I was able to do it, I would, yes.
Well, and we do have ageism in this country.
Yeah, we do.
Why do you think that is?
Well, they look at something they can pick on, and they use that, and it's wrong, I think, to be concerned about his age, because he's certainly able to do what he's doing, and he knows so much about government. I mean, the man has been in government his whole life at all the different positions, and he knows it up and down and backwards and forwards.
When I do want to make mention of this, your museum will open sometime at fallish probably.
November, some maybe after November, because it's not going to be worked on until then.
And some interesting things will be there that were not at the Primrose Museum.
Yeah,
and
we'll have some more things there. Yeah,
that'll be very nice.
We'll have more room, first of all, and then we're still finding things. It's amazing. I find something about every other day that I think will be good in the museum that, you know, I didn't take over to Primrose, and so it's been kind of fun.
Well, you know, it's interesting because women, one of the things when we talk about women running for office, people do care about fashion. And it's interesting, we had talked during the break, that one time we did a television show, and you brought the dress you were sworn in. And the purple, is it purple?
Well, it's dark blue.
Dark blue?
Yeah.
And you brought it in, and we displayed it, and now I hear that this is also going to end up over at the Historical Society.
Yes, it is.
Are you surprised people are interested in clothes that much?
Well, you know, I've told you this, Scott, that when I would give a speech, I would see women looking at me from top to bottom. They would really look at what I had on, and I knew how important it was to dress well.
You always looked good. When you go to C-SPAN, if people want to look back in those days, you have a lot of speeches on mm-hmm. C-SPAN. You were always bright colors, and always put together. But that was a conscious effort.
Yes, it was very conscious, because when people look at you, they want to see you look good. And that they make a judgment of you. You have to look like you can hold the office you're running for. That is very, very important. And I want to say that to women sometimes. Hillary was always spectacular in her, what she had on, and her hair and so forth. I know Charlie.
Charlie's right now somewhere looking down on us.
I know, he just heard that statement.
Yes.
But no kidding, that is so important. Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't say that Hillary had bad hair. It was just, sometimes it was different.
Well, she tried different styles. Once in a while, she'll have a style that I do not like. Lately, she's trying to do this straight look, and I don't like it on her. But and I don't think it would look good on me. I'm not going to try it. But
not going to go that route.
No. But dressing well. I mean, you have to wear things that don't wrinkle, first of all. I had a certain brand that I would wear in the summer, and I had another brand I would wear in the winter, and to make sure that I didn't look wrinkly.
You know, this one thing about Hillary and one thing about a lot of the women we see in politics today, clearly Hillary Clinton's a woman in her mid-70s now. Her hair is not that color that we see. And I can sympathize with this because my hair is going that way too. It's going the way of... Did you ever give any thought to dyeing your hair?
Oh, my hair was dyed the whole time.
When you were national treasurer?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I was... It was an accident. I became blonde through an accident by my hairdresser.
What was your natural color?
Brown.
Brown?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like a dark brown or?
Medium brown.
Medium brown.
And it was, I had them, you know how they used to streak your hair?
Oh, you highlight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. They made a mistake, and I ended up blonde, and I liked it. You know, they have more fun.
They do. Well, you did have blonde, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
So when did you let it go? Because you have great hair. Everybody always says that.
Well, when I went to Lazarus one day to get my hair done, and it turned orange.
Oh.
And it was evidently the medicine that I was taking. And so I can't do anything to my hair. It's going to be this color forever.
Now, do you think you would have kept it blonde had you?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes. I do like that shade. And, I forget what number it was on the shelf. I do my hair and my husband's hair at the same time. He liked that color, too.
He did. Norm did not have gray hair.
No, because he had blonde hair.
Blonde hair.
Yeah,
when did you start to go gray or white? I guess it's white.
I really don't know.
I started to see him in my 30s.
Did you?
And now it's getting a little more progressive.
Well, you know, my mother, she didn't go white. She went gray, but she was... Her hair changed right away. I can't hardly remember her with any other color hair. And so I figured, you know, that it was... But I don't know when it started to go white. But I'm glad it went white and not gray. Yeah.
Yeah. Before we get to the first energy thing, which we're going to talk about, the people who listen to this show regularly know there's two things I got to ask you that I said I would next time you were in. We're trying right now to plan a Christmas. Do you remember the old Christmas bus tours in Marion for the lights?
Oh.
Eldon. What was the guy who used to do it? Can't think of his
name.
No,
I didn't. I didn't ever knew about those.
What they used to do was the city buses, a couple nights in December, would load up people who wanted to go, and you would sing carols on the bus, and the bus driver would show the lights of Marion.
Oh.
So we're trying to revive that this year. Now, we're on in two city buses, David and Sarah's bus. So right now, hello to everybody riding the buses this morning from Mary Ellen and I. But they've both agreed to donate their time at night to drive these buses.
Well, that's great.
Isn't that nice?
That is wonderful. I never knew about that. Of course, I lived in the country, you know.
Well, but here's where we run into a problem on that, because I've already promised that you would come with us, Mary Ellen, and sing.
Oh, okay, I can do that.
Sing with us all.
Yes,
Christmas
right.
Carol. So
right.
You'll come, because yeah. We'll have two buses, and we're going to have to stagger. So maybe you and I will be on a bus, and we'll put Linda and Glenn on a bus.
Yeah.
We'll have a lot, so you'll come.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Yeah.
There we go. And the other thing, now this is a little more an odd question, but we're friends, so I can ask you this. We were talking a few weeks ago about President Harding's grave, and Charlie now has a bench in the Caledonia Cemetery. Even he's not buried there. Uh-huh. I always make sure to tell people that he's on the mantelpiece at home.
Yeah.
But somebody, do you know where you'll go?
Yeah, I've got a niche at the Marion Cemetery.
Oh, you'll be in the Marion Cemetery.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've already got it.
You've already got it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you chosen burial or cremation at this point?
Yeah, cremation.
Cremation.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody asked that, and I said, I don't know where Mary Ellen's going to be.
Yeah, Norman's already there.
Oh, he is already
yeah.
there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
So you guys will be together.
Yeah, right.
Which area is the...
It's where the things are, those... they called them buildings, and it's these forms that are built.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm in a smaller type form.
Because you know, there is a thing now on the internet, and you'll be on this one day, many years from now, but it's called Find a Grave. And when I was in Cleveland, mm-hmm. I went to Dorothy Fulltime's grave.
Oh, yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
So you'll be, and I thought, well, I wonder...
Yeah.
Mary Ellen knows where she's going to be at this
yeah.
point.
Yeah, Norman kept saying, you know, we don't have, what are we going to do? And I said, oh, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it.
You'll get it yeah. done. You'll get it done. So, do you have an epitaph on your tombstone?
No, it's just a niche.
Just a niche?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So, you'll be over there in the Marion Cemetery. Well, there's the mm-hmm. questions people wanted to know about.
Really? Who was asking that?
Well, we got onto that conversation. Because there's a big controversy here in Marion about Eber Baker. He was buried in the Quarry Street Cemetery because
oh, yeah.
that's when
I've got an ancient relative.
Really?
Yes, Potts. David Potts. He was in the Revolutionary War.
Well, this is a whole nother thing. Maybe a project we can work on, Mary Ellen, because I think it's horrible. And it's not, I'm not blaming anybody. I don't even know who owns that land anymore.
But it looks good now.
It looks good, but the problem is all Marion's, more or less, Revolutionary War veterans are there.
Yeah.
They're not in the Marion Cemetery.
Yeah.
We don't do any kind of ceremony at Quarry Street. Those are the people who fought for this country, fought
That's
for
right.
this land.
That's right.
We don't do anything.
That's true.
Somebody should give
yeah,
a speech
over
there.
I never thought of it that way, but... Well, they all had cholera. That's the reason they're there.
Well, and Eber Baker, the story is there, is that Eber Baker, the founder of Marion, definitely was buried there because mm-hmm. there was no Marion Cemetery when he died. Now, the Marion Cemetery says that they exhumed his body and took it to Marion when they closed the Quarry Street Cemetery. But... I've talked to the people who have the records for the Marion Cemetery. Now, there is a marker over there. There definitely is for Eber in the Marion Cemetery. But they say there's no record of anybody ever being exhumed and put there.
Really?
So I believe he's still over on Quarry Street.
Yeah.
So we got the founder of Marion on Quarry. Plus, how would you know where his grave, how to dig
no,
him up?
No,
I don't think you would.
No.
Because they didn't embalm people and all that back then. So the mystery is, we've got founder of Marion, all the Revolutionary War veterans, more or less, over on Quarry Street, and nobody does anything over there.
Hmm.
It's nice looking, better
yeah.
than it used to be.
Yeah.
But nobody, you think we would have some kind of something.
Yeah. Well, the DAR went there at one of their meetings this spring. You know, I'm in the DAR, and my daughter is, I didn't happen to go that day, but she went, and she said everything looked pretty good. but I had gone over there and looked at it just to see it. You know, I hadn't been aware of this until about 10 years ago, and I always thought I was descended from somebody named Drake that had been in the Revolutionary War, and we couldn't prove one little thing about it, so it ended up that I could find the lineage back through David Potts, and then I discovered that he was there, and so I was, and what's interesting, a descent about the fourth generation down from him was the grandmother of Teddy Roosevelt.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm descended from Teddy Roosevelt.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there would be also some
and
kind
also Eleanor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she was the niece of Teddy Roosevelt.
Right.
That's it. You know, recently I watched something on Eleanor, and I think people really forgot how outspoken she was.
She was terrific. She's the woman that I admire the most.
Are you surprised she hasn't ended up on any money?
Well, she's the one that should be on the money, if anybody should.
Yeah. It's interesting that she has not.
No. They did an interview with me the other day from Bowling Green. This political science teacher did this interview, and she was talking about what woman I admired the most, and I said it's Eleanor Roosevelt.
And I mean, it's interesting to say this, but you lived in her time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
I watched everything she did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being in her time, why was she so important?
Well, she did everything that he needed done, practically, as far as she would go out and find out information for him and come back and tell him about it. She was his legs, you know.
Hillary Clinton has said that Eleanor Roosevelt was one of her models.
Yeah, I know that.
Do you see that comparison when you look at their careers now?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of... Do you think Hillary Clinton will go down as an Eleanor Roosevelt type? Because people hated Eleanor Roosevelt in her day, too.
They did, yeah. I heard a lot of that, and I couldn't understand why, because I think people resent women that are getting things done somehow. That turns them against them. You know, listen to what they're doing to Nancy Pelosi. It's terrible. And that woman is so... she is so good at what she does. I mean, just look at what she's accomplished, you know?
Are you surprised about the young people in the Democratic Party, your party, that seem to have a problem with people like Nancy Pelosi as well?
Well, are you talking about AOC?
Yeah, a little more directly, yeah. She seems to be right out there.
Yeah, she's from New York, and where she's from, she has to be that way. That area made her that way. So I understand her. And she can't help it, you know.
When we look at, it is interesting, because right now, and obviously I don't care about age, but we have the oldest president ever elected, Nancy Pelosi, who I believe is in her 80s, Speaker of the House, and Chuck Schumer, who I think is in his late 70s, head of the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how it should be?
It takes a while to get there.
I guess it takes a while to get up the hill.
Yeah, you gotta really start young in order to make it.
Make it there. Takes a few years.
Yeah.
Takes a few years. But it is interesting to me, and nothing to do with party, but the speakers, Paul Ryan was not an older guy.
No.
John
no.
Boehner was not when he was there.
No.
I don't even think Newt Gingrich.
No, that Newt Gingrich was, he was an interesting guy. You know, I look at how he got along with Clinton. They got along. I mean, You know, it was fascinating.
I was having that discussion with Glenn the other day because Glenn is a big fan, and he wouldn't mind me saying, well, we had it on discussion on the air. He's a very big fan of President Obama. And
yeah, I am too.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying anything against Obama, but my point that I was making the other day to him was, I think what Obama never did, I don't think he ever learned how to schmooze.
No, that's right.
And I said, Bill Clinton knew how to schmooze.
Yes, he did, and he was good at it.
Yeah. I look at the relationship Obama had with Boehner, and I looked at the relationship Clinton had with Gingrich.
Yes,
and
right.
He
took care of him. I mean, yeah. He ruined his career by being so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I have heard, and I don't hear this about Obama, and again, nothing against Obama, but I heard the Bushes, who he beat to take the White House. I heard Barbara Bush, who was not forgiving, a forgiving woman. I heard Newt Gingrich and journalists all say it's impossible to, you can disagree with Bill Clinton on his views, it's impossible to be in a room and not like him.
That's right. I would see people talk to him that said they didn't like him, and they'd come away just smiling. You know, he had a way with talking to people and being, yeah. The last time I saw him, he said, "And how are you?"
Yeah.
Now that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After all these years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but for some reason, and not to be critical of Obama, because it could be anybody, there was a little bit of a coldness there.
That's right. And Michelle was not that way.
No, not at all.
But I think it was his reserve that he had to have because of maybe his color. I don't know if that had something to do with it, but I think it made him more reserved.
Great speaker.
Oh, yes. Not any better than him. But yeah.
Seems like he was great in front of 1,000 people, but in a room with 10 people was not...
Yeah.
Couldn't do that.
Yeah. Well, when I met him... He was not, it didn't seem like he was relaxed, I'll put it that way.
Well, the conversation Glenn and I were having the other day was, because Glenn made the remark that, the Senate and the House and the President don't get along. And I said, well, Obama and Trump, this is true. They couldn't do it. But W. Bush did, somewhat. Certainly Bill Clinton did.
Yeah.
I don't know that George H.W. Bush didn't. There was a lot of Democratic support for the Iraq War number one.
Yeah.
So I think they did get along. It's just Obama and Trump, and I think Biden has a little bit of a relationship with the Republicans.
Yes, he does. Well, he worked with them all those years. Right. He's got to like them.
But Obama and Trump just didn't seem to be schmoozy.
No.
They had a different...
Yeah. No, that's true. Yeah.
But I did want to ask you this before we go into First Energy. What did you make of the Texas bit where the people left? And
you know, I thought that's very brave of them.
Could be arrested now when they go back.
Yeah, they did that once before. Remember that?
I do.
Yeah, I was when they did it before, which was what, about 15 years ago. I thought, boy, that's brave, you know. And they did it again. Well, I mean, they have something they really have to deal with down there. It's something else.
Yeah, I never think it's wrong for somebody to stand up for their belief, but they did take an oath to be there, and they can vote no on the it's a voting rights issue, I believe, down in Texas. I just think when you leave like that, I guess what I don't want it to spread, you know.
Well, it's Texas is different. I think they should be part of Mexico.
Is that bad down there, is it?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Yeah, and I've got a lot of friends down in Texas, but they did what they thought was right, and I give them credit for it. Yeah,
I'm just nervous that if something comes up for a vote, that either side, that if you don't want to vote for it, you'll just leave. And we've got enough problems. We cannot, nobody will agree. Where are the moderates? I don't even think that's a word anymore.
I like to think of myself as a moderate.
Right, well, yeah. Yeah. And I think John Glenn was a moderate.
Yeah.
Metzenbaum was a little bit of a moderate.
When I first got into politics, they wanted to know what kind of a Democrat I was. And I said, well, I'm a conservative Democrat. I said, you have to be from Marion.
You do. You can't go all the way the other way. No.
Well, and AOC is, I would say, just exactly the opposite.
Well, the mayor said that after the last election, in which no Democrats won at all. He said, I believe on this show, maybe an election night, that Democrats have to understand that in Marion, Ohio, they don't want far left ideas.
No, they don't. Yeah.
But they don't seem to understand that. Some issue there.
Yeah, okay.
First Energy.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Oh, this ought to be good. This
will be interesting. let's start with the whole problem itself. With 2 weeks ago, the biggest fine scandal is what they're calling it in the history of Ohio. First Energy agreed to pay nearly a quarter of a billion dollars to the federal government, and also it will go to help people who need help with their electric bills and things of that nature. PUCO, I think, is the PUCO. But $230,000 to avoid criminal prosecution, and they'll continue to work with the federal government to flush out this case. And they basically have said that they did give money to politicians, and the idea was, vote for what we want. Now, before we get to the governor, just the fact that settlement, what'd you make of that? Quarter of $1 billion.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of dough.
It is. You know what I'm sitting here thinking? I'm going back to when they invested in the coins. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that was my department. and that guy, you know, I don't know what happened to him. What was his name? It was an unusual name that was responsible for that. Do you remember?
I don't remember the guy, but I remember there was trouble.
Oh my. But anyway, back to what was your question?
were you surprised that First Energy made this settlement?
Yes, yes.
Because I imagine they could afford pretty good lawyers.
Yeah.
The goods must have been there.
Yeah, that I'm sure it was. Yeah.
Also, since last time you were here, Larry Householder was voted out by his own party.
It was about time.
Yeah. Were you surprised it took that long?
Yes, I couldn't understand why somebody didn't do something.
What do you make of Larry Householder?
Well, I think he's a crook.
I guess we'll find out as time goes on. Now the meat and potatoes of this. Okay, this is where we are. Now, it's kind of hard to explain, but Randazzo, there was a gentleman named Randazzo, and I'm sure that's not a familiar name for people in the community here, but a guy named Randazzo was appointed to a position in the governor's administration, and what we've come to find out in the last couple weeks since First Energy did this settlement is that First Energy had given him over $4 million prior to taking this position, and he had a position in the governor's administration that would deal with energy and things of that nature. Now, where it gets complicated at this point is that the governor's chief of staff apparently appointed this guy. I don't really understand how this all happened, but the governor's chief of staff brought this Randazzo in. Well, and apparently there was a dinner with John Husted at some point also with this Randazzo. We don't know what they talked about, but that happened as well. Okay. Randazzo last year was indicted and resigned his position somewhere around November of last year. On November 17th, Governor DeWine says he became aware after the indictment and resignation that this was going on. Now, DeWine, I guess, found out about this on November 17th, is the date. So he says that he didn't know anything about it prior to that. Then he gave $130,000, DeWine, to the Boys and Girls Club this past Monday, which was First Energy money. So, has kept his chief of staff on, and a matter of fact, I believe as of 18 hours ago, I was looking there during the break, as of 18 hours ago, he says he, this is from the Cincinnati Inquirer, Governor Mike DeWine won't fire staff with First Energy ties despite Democrats' demand. So he's not going to do it. So, the questions about this are, why do you think he's keeping this person on?
Well, there has to be a reason. Yeah, there's been some pressure from somewhere.
Do you believe a governor could not know about Randazzo for 17 days?
I don't know. It seems kind of hard to believe, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, and the other part of this, Householder was arrested on, I believe it was July 21st, 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Mike DeWine that day called on him to resign. So when November comes around, how could he not be aware of anything going on?
Yeah, you know, as governor, you would probably... You have your sources that I would think you would know everything that's going on.
Well, the big question right now for all the reporters and all the newspapers, and I believe all the Democratic politicians, is do you think Mike DeWine's telling the truth?
I have no idea, but I'll tell you, this thing is so big, and so much money was given to so many people running for office. I would think all of the people that received money would be in trouble. And I'm going to watch very closely on that because, you know, they're advertising right now for different members into Congress. And I'm going to watch and see if there's been any effect on this scandal that we've, you know, they gave out money to so many people running that made it. Probably because they got all that money.
If you're Mike DeWine, why on Monday would you give away that $130,000?
Well, that's a good question because it's very suspicious, yeah.
And we're looking at a sitting governor who's under fire from his own party. He's being primaried
mm-hmm.
from what looks like a fairly strong candidate.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, he's in a difficult position. That hanging over your head and different things are coming out, you know, gradually it comes out. And it's going to be hard for him to win again, I think.
Well, and I asked you this, because the Harry Truman saying always was, the buck stops here.
Yeah, right.
Let's give Mike DeWine the benefit of the doubt. Let's say he is being honest and he didn't know anything till November 17th, and it was his staffer that did this. Let's say that's true. Let's take him at his word. Regardless, this happened on his watch and in his administration.
And I can't hardly believe that what his staffer did that he didn't know.
Well, that's why people... Is he telling the truth
yeah.
when he says
yeah.
he didn't know?
I can't hardly go along with that. Yeah.
And another big question is, let's say that he did... tell the truth and didn't know till November 17th. Why did he wait till July?
Yeah,
to
that's another good question.
It?
Yeah,
and questions he's not really answering at this point.
You know, in his position, he's got the ability to really know what's going on because the different people that were getting money that would filter back to him. I'm sure. That had to be filtering back to him.
Well, and I guess just your opinion, and I asked Governor Strickland this yesterday, and I know you go back a long way with Mike DeWine. Do Do you think he's telling the truth?
No, I don't.
No, mm-hmm. It's difficult here.
Yeah, I can't hardly believe that. Yeah.
So, and I told you I was going to ask you this earlier, so this is one of those questions that it just has to be asked.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Do you think Mike DeWine, the Harry Truman, the buck stops here, this is all going on my watch,
right.
Should he resign? Should he still be governor?
Well, he's in a difficult position, and why would he run again with all of this hanging over his head at his age, you know?
Well, I think the question, since he's already decided he plans to do that,
yeah,
is should he, this is the feds have called this the biggest scandal mm-hmm. in Ohio history.
Yeah.
The prosecutors say that's the biggest payout, $230,000,
mm-hmm.
$230 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little difference there. Put the decimal point in the wrong place.
Right.
That's a lot of dough, and now they're, I'm not saying the governor did know anything, but there are certainly now tentacles going toward his office.
Mm-hmm.
Should he step down? This is the biggest scandal ever, and he's keeping his staff on that he says... I think he said the staff did this. He didn't know anything about it, according to him.
Mm-hmm.
But should he continue as the governor of Ohio?
Well, he probably thinks, you know, he's going to be running again next year. He's probably going to try to hang on to it. But really, with this going on, I would think that he would not want to run again. I can't believe that he's going to run again, and then, you know, you're asking if he should resign. I would say yes, he should resign with all of this happening.
That being said, unless something big happens, he probably won't resign. He is going to run, continue on, I guess. Could a sitting governor be defeated in a primary? That's unheard of.
Well, anything can happen, but what you're doing when he resigns, he's giving Houston a boost to be elected, and I'm sure the Democrats are thinking about that.
Well, Houston apparently, allegedly, had dinner with this Randazzo, and we're not sure...
Really?
Yeah, what went on there?
Oh.
Well, I think he said he didn't remember what they talked about.
Okay.
You know, it's unfortunate we even have to talk about this.
Yeah, right.
Because I don't know what's going on anymore.
I know. It's getting complicated, isn't it?
Well, it really is, and I wonder, you know, he's already got DeWine... Let me just put it this way. You know Mike DeWine a long time.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you imagine this at this age and stage in his life, that this is going on?
Really and truly, I can't. I just can't believe that he's going to run again, you know, with all of this. That's what surprises me more than anything.
Well, his own party was legislature. Is at odds with him just over COVID alone.
Yeah, right. You'd think he couldn't stand that after a while. You know, that would be very difficult.
And now you dump this on
him. Yeah, right.
So that being said, I'm sure Jim Renacci is very happy these days.
Yeah, well, I think, I don't know about Jim Renacci. Let's look at the Democratic side here.
Well, I do. I think we know Dan Whaley's pretty happy about this.
Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, does this... Have you ever... We've had some governors in some trouble, for sure. Bob Taft.
Well, the coins.
Yeah.
Remember the coins?
Yeah, I remember the coins. But where's Bob Taft been since then? He kind of disappeared.
You know, he has. Yes, I... And, yeah, he's... he was there when I was there. And we worked together on this, working with high school students on government and what they knew about government. He was on a committee with me, and we were supporting the students, and it was a good event. But he was involved in that, and that was a bad mark on his governorship. That you know, those things that are so big and like that, I think people never forget, really.
In comparison, do you think this is bigger than that?
I guess it's to me it wasn't, but it's awfully big. But, you know, I was more interested in the coins because I was in office. I was in the U.S. Treasurer's job at the time, and I had tried to work with this man with the state quarters program, and he's the one that bought the coins, and I couldn't work with him. I tried to get them just to put one thing on the quarter, because the quarter isn't very big. Why do you want to load it up with three things? And I tried to get him to do that. He wouldn't listen to me. He knew it all. And then he goes out and buys coins for a whole bunch of money, and they weren't any good. And, you know, yeah.
As I said, you and Mike DeWine have known each other a long time. It sort of ruined Bob Taft. Certainly was a block.
Well, yes, it did ruin him, and it should have ruined him for doing that. Yeah.
So, in this position, I don't think anybody's ruined yet, but certainly there's some tarnish.
Well, I guess so. There's a lot of tarnish. Yeah, and there's a lot of tarnish on a lot of people. The people, even take the people that have received the money, they're tarnished too.
Do you have at this point any just human sympathy for Mike DeWine? He's in a tough... I imagine he's not sleeping much these days.
Well, I would have thought that he would have handled it differently. Instead of not doing anything about it, that's bad. The longer you know something like that and you don't do anything, the worse it gets. And I'd say he's in that situation right now.
I hate to ask a conjecture question, but it's got to be asked because people are scratching their heads on this one. Well, let's take Mike DeWine at his word. Why is, with Democrats calling on your chief of staff to be fired, with you even admitting that your chief of staff kept this from you for 17 days, if that's your story, why are you so adamant to keep her?
Yeah, that's a good question.
That is a good question. What is the answer to that?
I don't know. There has to be some reason. Yeah.
Any idea?
Maybe she knows something that he doesn't want, you know?
And I hate to be that cynical about it,
but that's probably it.
Well,
yeah.
If you're still working for him, highly unlikely you would spill the beans.
Right.
So there we go. That's the story of our governor right now.
Okay.
But it's very unfortunate because, to be honest with you, Mike DeWine, as I was talking with Governor Strickland, the mayor, Democrat, Scott Schertzer, Governor Strickland, former Governor Strickland, Democrat. Yourself, Democrat, treasurer on the highest level, on all three levels, all came on this show a year ago and praised Mike DeWine for handling COVID-19.
That's right.
And my, how a year changes.
Yeah, and all of this was going on.
Well, that's the irony of the whole thing.
Yeah, right.
Is that...
Yeah, and it took forever for it to come out.
Well,
and then there's Neil Clark, who committed suicide.
Oh, and you know what? Why doesn't that get any press?
The Prince of Darkness, that's what we used to call him.
Is that right?
Yes. He was with Paul Tipps in this company. They had a Republican and a Democrat. Paul Tipps was head of the Democratic Party when I ran for state treasurer. And he ruined Paul Tipps.
Well, let's look at this. We got three. Mary Ellen's going to be here another hour. But Householder, who was then the Speaker of the House, Republican. Mm-hmm. Matt Borges, who I believe at that time was the head of the Republican Party in Ohio, is involved in this. The Prince of Darkness, who has committed suicide, was involved in this. There's another guy. I can't think of his name at this time. But, and now we learn that not necessarily the governor, but some ties to the governor's office were involved in this.
Right.
Now, what does that say?
Wow.
Yeah.
That says a lot.
That's a lot of mess in a party.
Right.
But I guess that's the way it goes at this particular point. So if, but just to be clear, you think that DeWine should resign?
Well, yes, but from the Democratic standpoint, I don't think that we do. I think that the Democratic Party would be better off if he didn't.
Can he continue on not answering these questions?
I don't know. It's going to be hard. Yeah.
You know, and it's here's a guy who, for better or worse, he was Attorney General.
Oh, yeah, he was Auditor.
Auditor.
He was never Treasurer.
Never Treasurer.
Thank goodness.
Nothing on that office. No, he wasn't there. But here's a guy, and he's at the very end of his political career, and this to happen.
Oh, yeah. That, you know, you don't want it to happen at the end of your career.
No.
No.
And I think about, and now he... I'm sure before it's over, he's going to deal with COVID again because that's not going away. He's just, at this point, he just looks to be a sitting duck for people.
What comes around goes around, I'll tell you.
There, ads against John Glenn.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
We're going to break. Mary Ellen sticks with us. We'll be back.
Listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For legendary talk show host Larry King...
You were hurt when they gave you the 1 year. How did this make you feel when you got the news? 27 years with that company.